comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us for the very, very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. I got to tell you about something really neat that we've got going right now, just started today. It actually started yesterday, but I forgot to tell you about it. So I guess it didn't start yesterday, but it was supposed to. Our members area, we got some new free gifts for you. All right, here's the deal. If you join our members area with a quarterly subscription, we're going to send you, as a free bonus, Ed Grimsley's Our Star Wars Reel. Now, this is... You'll get to see some UFO fleets through night vision with this DVD. What this is Joanne Richards talking about her husband's involvement in a secret space program. She talks about him and his father being members of the Air Force officers, and being involved in a secret space program. I've had people say, well, what do you think, Smith? You think this is for real? Well, look, I don't know. I have no reason to doubt what she says. On the other hand, I don't know. I'm not an expert on that, but this is her story, and she's talking with Ed Grimsley about it. Says some pretty interesting things in here about that secret space program. So you get that as a free bonus when you sign up for our members area on a quarterly membership, okay? Now, if you would like, and when you sign up on a quarterly membership, you are saving money because, you know, it's a discounted price over the monthly membership. Monthly membership is $6.95, and the quarterly membership is, I believe, it's $19.80. So you save a little bit of money. Plus, you get this free of charge when you sign up this week. Now, if you sign up for an annual membership, we're going to do this. We're going to send you our Star Wars reel, and I'm going to include Ed Grimsley's UFO Wars, which is his commercially produced DVD showing UFOs out in space through night vision. So you get both of those if you sign up for an annual membership. Okay, the annual membership is $75. That's for the whole year, and you save even more money doing it that way. All right, so a lot of you have been saying, you know, I really ought to sign up for that membership. But you've been holding back. You've been dragging your feet. You've been saying, well, I'm going to think about it. And you've been thinking about it now for about 8 or 9 years. And so now it's time to make that decision. And we want to help you do that by sending you some pretty cool DVDs. This one you get when you sign up quarterly. Both of these you get when you sign up for an annual membership. So going over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, sign up for a membership. And enjoy. We'll get those out to you. These days, we seem to be headed down to the post office every day, putting DVDs of one type or another into the mail. Yours may as well be the next one. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We've got a fun evening in front of us here this evening. We've got some pretty neat news that I want to tell you about. And then we've also got an exploration of inner Earth this evening. The pretty cool news is that scientists have found a nearly Earth-sized exoplanet. Now, an exoplanet means it's not in this solar system, or some people call them extrasolar planets. It's not in this solar system. It's 20 and a half light years away. All of the extrasolar planets that they have discovered so far have been really, really big. And, you know, that's, I think they found one that was something like five times the size of Jupiter. Huge. Absolutely immense. That's because it's very, very difficult to detect planets. Even a very, very large planet like that is absolutely microscopic when you're looking out across many light years of space. But they've discovered this one. It's 1.9 times the size of Earth. It's not quite double the size of Earth. So that's getting down pretty close to our size, comparatively. Still bigger than this planet, but compared to the other planets that have been found, it's a lot smaller. And what's interesting about this is that this planet is orbiting its star in what scientists call the habitable zone. Now, there is a zone where you're too close. You know, if you're too close to your star, you burn up. If you're too far away, you freeze. You can't have liquid water on the surface. And then the habitable zone is a zone that is, frankly, pretty much like the orbit of Earth in relation to its star. And this one is. And the scientists say they think it probably has a very large, deep ocean of liquid water. Now, what I found interesting about this is they said, but it's too hot for life to exist there. You know, that just blows me away every time I hear them say that life can't exist there because, and then they list these reasons. And all the reasons they list are reasons why you and I could not exist there. But it doesn't mean that life can't exist there. Look, there's life at the bottom of the ocean, in the deepest trench in the ocean, and hovering around. First of all, the water pressure is so immense that even with the best submersibles, it's very, very dangerous for any scientists, any humans, to go down there. It has been done, but it's very dangerous for them. And very, very risky because the water pressure is so intense, so immense, that it can just crush the vessel that they're in if there's any flaw whatsoever in the vessel. And yet down there, they have discovered there is an abundance of life, all kinds of creatures living down at that depth where there is allegedly no oxygen in the water, very, very little, if any at all, where allegedly the temperatures are way too cold, except right at these volcanic vents that are coming up out of the ocean, and right there at those volcanic vents, the temperatures are way too hot for life to exist. But it does. And so when we hear these scientists say this kind of stuff, it sort of amazes me that these people of science are still so homoterracentric. Homoterracentric, well, that means they think of the whole universe in terms of us on this planet at the center of it all. Well, we're not. And I think life exists probably on virtually every planet in our solar system, some kind of life. I think life probably exists on virtually every planet they have discovered out of our solar system. That's 350 of them. Probably some kind of life exists. Not life like you and me. You have to understand that you and me and all the rest of our fellow creatures of our race on this planet, our species, we are the only Homo terracentric species in the universe. So probably life doesn't care too much whether we think it can exist or not. And it's there. I bet you it is. I bet we're going to find life virtually everywhere. And when we stop looking for life that looks like us and start looking for just life, I think we're going to find it. Okay, now, for the past past several shows, we have mentioned some things, and especially last night, we've mentioned some things about some of the mysteries of Earth, some of the mysteries of what's under the Earth. We've talked about, in several shows lately, about the inner Earth and the inner Earth theory. I've talked about Lake Vostok and the magnetic anomaly. You heard Robert Morningstar talk about the magnetic anomaly that he was told about that is supposed to be in New York State. And so I thought this might just be a real good time for us to sort of stop and think about this whole inner Earth thing. It is fascinating when you get into the literature about the inner Earth. It really is fascinating. Now, I have people who say, anytime I bring any subject up, I have people who write to me and say, I can't believe you would put that nonsense on your show. This damages your credibility. Well, I want to establish right here, right now, that I don't have any credibility. I'm just Kevin Smith. I'm just another person who can read. And I know that the idea of an inner Earth goes against everything we've been taught by scientists. But so does most everything that was discovered on the moon. So does most everything that's been discovered on Mars. Almost everything that's been discovered on Titan goes against what scientists have told us. Virtually everything in the universe goes against everything we learned in science class. They're rewriting the books, busily rewriting the rewrites and rewriting the rewritten rewrites as we speak. We have had scientists on this show, very noted scientists on this show, talk about the physics involved with a spinning sphere in space. And we have had those scientists tell us that the physics of a spinning sphere in space virtually demands that it is mostly hollow, that it has a big void on the inside, which would seem to me to make sense. As you spin things, you know, if take a ball that's on a string and start to sling it around in a circle. Now, when you do, you'll feel that ball is tugging outward from the center. I would think that matter at the center of the Earth would be pushed outward as the Earth spins. And we've had some physicists tell us that is, the physics of a spinning sphere in space would dictate that would happen. We also know that NASA has done some experiments on the moon back during the Apollo program. Back during the Apollo program, one of the experiments they set up was they put some seismic sensors around on the surface of the moon. Remember that? And then they crashed part of the lunar lander. They had part of that they crashed back into the moon on purpose. As they took off, they got to a certain altitude and then shot that back down at the moon and let it crash and then listened to the seismic sensors. And they said the moon rang like a bell for something like 45 minutes. And the scientist involved in that experiment said that the data seemed to show more of a hollow moon than a solid moon. Now, that was NASA scientist. As far as I know, the Earth and its crust would be a little bit too big to try something like that. But, you know, there are a lot of stories from ancient times about the Earth being hollow. And I don't mean like just a hollow ball, but big voids inside the Earth where, according to ancient writings, civilizations exist. And they go by various names depending on the culture that's writing about them. I think probably the most popular name is Shambhala. That's the Sanskrit name. And then there's Agartha, or Agartha. I'll get it said in a minute. I think that's probably the Asian variation of that, but we know it by a lot of different names. And by the way, I just remembered, you need to take a look at the website, because if this sort of thing interests you at all, there's a real science fiction classic written by Jules Verne. And Jules Verne wrote Journey to the Center of the Earth. It's been made into movies, a couple of different movies about it. And but anyway, that classic by Jules Verne, we've got it as an e-book. It's absolutely free for you to download. It's on the website. You just look under where you see, listen live, and then there's a bar that has some menu options on it, and right under that bar, there's a link. And you can download that ebook free. But, you know, this whole theory, this idea of an inner Earth has absolutely fascinated whole civilizations for a long, long time. If you go to India today, you will find people in India who still believe the stories that are in their ancient writings, the stories about Shambhala or Agartha. And, the Hindus had a name for it. I can't remember the name, but the Hindu name for it actually means the home or the civilization of the Aryans. And, you know, the Nazis were really into looking for this underworld, this subterranean civilization. They were really into looking for it. And actually even sent expeditions over into Tibet looking for the entrance into Shambhala or Agartha. Well, Jules Verne wrote about it in Journey to the Center of the Earth back in 1864. Edgar Rice Burroughs, who is the creator of the Martian Adventures, and also he wrote something you may be more familiar with, Tarzan of the Apes. He also wrote about an inner Earth. He had some novels about that. And a lot of people kind of got on that bandwagon and really started promoting the idea that there was an inner Earth. Well, in 1906, William Reed published something called The Phantom of the Poles, in which he claimed that nobody had found the North or South Poles because they don't exist. He claimed that instead of the poles, what you have are at where the poles should be, you have entrances into the inner Earth. And then in 1913, Marshall B. Gardner published Journey to the Earth's Interior, in which he rejected this notion that everyone had at that time who was talking about an inner earth, a notion of concentric spheres. But he swore that inside the hollow earth was a sun that was 600 miles in diameter. He also claimed that there were huge holes 1,000 miles wide at the poles. In the 1940s, Ray Palmer, do you know Ray Palmer? You should. He's one of the co-founders of Fate Magazine. A lot of you subscribe to Fate Magazine or have over the years. He's one of the founders of Fate Magazine. And he teamed up with a guy by the name of Richard Shavers. Now, Richard Shavers told him a story about having been inside the earth through some deep, deep caverns, and that he actually lived among a people, a vast civilization of people that lived subterraneanly, and he said that they were sort of demon-looking, and he said there were two types. There were Deros and Teros, and the Deros, this was his word for them, the Deros, he said, were just almost entirely evil, and the Teros were not. They were still kind of demon-looking, but they were not evil, and they were in constant battle and warfare against the Deros. Now, a lot of people thought Richard Shaver was crazy. They thought he was psychotic. Nevertheless, when Ray Palmer published that, it made the magazine sales soar. People really responded to it. They loved it. And an amazing thing happened. People started writing in to the magazine telling their own stories about their contact with people from inner Earth. Some of them said they had actually been in and had seen cities, subterranean cities, and had met and had contact with these inner earthers. It was pretty amazing because the general consensus was that Richard Shavers was nuts. But guess what? If he was, there were a whole bunch of other people who claimed to have had similar encounters and similar experiences. And so a few eyebrows were raised and the whole thing was taken a bit more seriously, and a few other things have happened since then to make us raise an eyebrow and say, I wonder if this might have a kernel of truth in it. I wonder. So we're going to go underground here tonight. We are going to see if we can uncover some of the facts, few as they may be, that may be known about inner Earth. We'll be back. Welcome back. We're talking about the stories about the inner earth, and are they even plausible? Very, very often, folks, we hear something that, when we hear it without even considering any real evidence, we just sort of throw it away and say, that's just crazy. And then we find out later, very often, it might be crazy, but it was true. It was real, and we threw out the baby with the bathwater. And I'm not saying that this inner earth theory is true. I'm saying we shouldn't throw it out before we seriously consider it. There is a story about Admiral Byrd. The story is that a part of his diary was found, and that in this Admiral Byrd's diary, he talks about having found the entrance to inner Earth as he was flying across the Arctic, and he was taken down into the inner Earth, and he met with people and their leaders from inner Earth. Now, that diary, there are people who have taken a look at that. There are people who have done some experts that have done some analysis of it, and who say that it is their opinion that that is a fraud, that it's a hoax. I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying that it isn't. I don't know. But there are experts who have analyzed it and have said it's not really from Admiral Byrd. And that very well could be the case. But I mention it only because if I don't mention it, some of you will think I skipped some of the information that we ought to be discussing here. We've had people on this show, we've had guests on this show, who have actually talked about that. And I will tell you this, I personally talked with one of Admiral Byrd's descendants who has seen it and who has also been in possession of, at a couple of points in his life, the known real diary of Admiral Byrd. And he said that he thought that Admiral Byrd's diary that we're talking about, the one that talks about his meeting with beings in the inner Earth, he said he's compared them, and he thinks it's a hoax. And he told me that himself. And I simply mention it because it is part of the literature that's out there. But let's talk about some things that both are known to be true, and then some things that maybe or maybe not true. Maybe they're not true. Hitler was absolutely fascinated with things occult. And the Nazis were. But you look, Hitler and his chief advisors were really into anything that had to do with the Aryans. And one of the Hindu myths about this inner Earth is that it is the original homeland of the Aryans. And so it is known that Hitler did send an expedition over into the Himalayas looking for this entrance into the inner Earth. According to some stories that are out there, Hitler escaped after the war. He didn't actually die. Now, I got to tell you that, you know, I've seen several documentaries on this, and they've actually uncovered a skull that the dental records match. And he actually did die, just as the stories say, and he did not escape. Now, some of you might say you haven't seen that, and so you don't buy it. Okay, that's fine. But they found the skull, and they matched the dental records, and it was Hitler. So he didn't make it out. But we do know, too, that a lot of his advisors did. We know that a lot of top Nazis did escape at the end of World War II. We know a lot of scientists went missing. We know, at least the stories are, that a great deal of their high technology went with them, and they went somewhere. Now, there is a story that there was a convoy of U-boats that headed south, and this is fairly, this part of this is fairly well documented, but they headed south toward Antarctica at the end of the war, and the rumors are that these were full of top Nazis and scientists, treasures, and technology, and that they headed south towards Antarctica. Part of the story I've not been able to confirm. Now, the deal about the convoy headed south, I think, is probably pretty well confirmed. What was on that convoy, that's rumor. Where they actually went, I think, is rumor. But they were headed in the direction of Antarctica. And Germany had staked out a vast area of Antarctica for them, for themselves. And there were rumors that the Nazis had built a base in this area. It's called New Schwabenland. And they had built a base there. Well, there's this parallel theory that has been circulating out there. And according to the Hollow Earth Research Society in Canada, the Nazis are still there. And they say that after the war, the Allies discovered that more than 2,000 scientists from Germany and Italy had vanished, along with almost a million people, to the land beyond the South Pole. Well, the problem with that is transporting a million people. I mean, 2,000 scientists would be a whale of a lot to transport, but then almost a million people. I don't know. That one does go a little bit beyond plausibility for me. I don't know how they would have transported them there. But the idea, the kernel of truth may be that there was, in fact, this convoy that went to Antarctica. We know that there were some U-boats, that a couple of them, that turned themselves in Argentina. And this was at some point after the war. They turned themselves in. They were out of supplies, and they pulled up into the ports there in Argentina and turned themselves in. And there are pictures of the crews dismounting the ships. So, you know, I think there's probably that sort of adds to the possibility that this story about the convoy might be true. So did the Nazis find an entrance into the inner Earth? Well, according to this Hollow Earth Research Society, they did, and they have continued in living under the Earth. They have continued, and they have struck up alliances with the inhabitants of inner Earth. The remnants of the peoples of Lemuria and Atlantis are said to be living in this inner Earth. According to some theories, according to some stories and some ancient records, Atlantis and Lemuria, by the way, Lemuria is said to have existed where the Gobi Desert now exists, engaged in a war. And as a result, both civilizations were pretty much destroyed. It was a thermonuclear war. Interestingly, in the Gobi Desert, there is a place, and also in the Sahara, a place where there are sheets of glass. Broken glass, but sheets of glass. It's a green glass. And they've analyzed it, and they have said, the scientists have said, that this glass is nothing but the sand of the desert that has been very rapidly heated to a very, very high temperature and turned into glass. And the only thing they know of, the scientists said, that could do that would be a thermonuclear blast. So that exists in the Gobi. It exists in the Sahara. And the legends are that the remnants of Atlantis and Mu live in the subterranean world, the inner earth, and the remnants of Lemuria also live there, but now they live peacefully with each other, and there's no more war there. I mentioned the names of this inner earth. Agartha is one of the most common names. Shangri-La is one. I didn't mention that. Shambhala is one. The Hindus, I mentioned, they have known it as, and I don't know that I'll say this right, Aryavartha, which literally means the land or the realm of the Aryans. So I guess it's Aryavartha, I guess is how they say it. But throughout Asia, it's known mostly as Shambhala. Okay, this theory about an inner earth is not supported by modern science. Most modern science doesn't support it. But like I said, most of the realities of the universe defy modern science. As I speak to you, science books are being rewritten, and the rewrites are being rewritten, and the rewritten rewrites are being rewritten, because second by second, the things we think we know are being outdated by actual knowledge that we're attaining. Second by second, we're learning things about our universe around us that actually invalidate things that we have in these books. And so they're having to be rewritten all the time. So it doesn't disturb me much that modern science doesn't support the theory of an inner earth. Modern science supported the theory of a flat earth. So it just doesn't bother me. I find whatever their theories are to be basically irrelevant. They're just theories. And one theory is as good as another theory until one of them is proven to be correct. Whereas no one that we know has drilled all the way to the center of the earth, I don't think either theory has been proven to be correct. They're both still in play. They're both on the table. We'll be back right after this. Be getting close to something. We have been hit again. Thank you, gentlemen. It's good to know that you are watching the show and listening to the show. We appreciate it so much. Now, in our quest for information about this inner earth theory, you might be saying to yourself, well, now look, who says, what kind of people are saying that there's credence to this? I mean, we do that with UFOs, right? We talk about UFOs and we say, okay, well, who says that UFOs are real? And then we then can list, you know, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, astronaut Gordon Cooper, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Major Donald Kehoe, Jesse Marcel Jr., Major Jesse Marcel, you know, and we can list the people, you know, Stanton Friedman. We can list people that say that the evidence says that UFOs are real. So what sort of people say that this inner earth thing, that there's something to it? Well, one of the people is Dr. Brooks Agnew. Now, Dr. Brooks Agnew has been on this show. And Dr. Agnew is a physicist. He is an engineer. He is a very successful businessman and a very successful author and a radio host. Very successful radio host. And he's the one who said that the physics of a spinning sphere, he's the first one on this show to say this, I've had others, that the physics of a spinning sphere in space virtually demand that every sphere in space spinning is hollow. Brad Steiger. Now, Brad Steiger has been on this show a number of times, and that's a name I think all of you are familiar with. And he wrote in an article called The Hollow Earth, Myth or Reality. This was an article that he wrote for Atlantis Rising. Brad Steiger wrote that he talked about the legends of, and I quote, the old ones. And he said this is an ancient race that populated the surface world millions of years ago and then moved underground. Quoting Brad Steiger's article, the old ones, an immensely intelligent and scientifically advanced race, have chosen to structure their own environment under the surface of the planet and manufacture there all their necessities. He continues, the old ones are hominid, extremely long-lived, and predate Homo sapiens by more than a million years. The old ones generally remain aloof from the surface peoples, but from time to time they have been known to offer constructive criticism, and it has been said they often kidnap human children and tutor and rear them as their own. Now, that's from Brad Steiger. So what we've got, when we talk about the possibility of an inner earth, we've got a story, a theory, that is probably more ridiculed than UFOs. But it also has very serious-minded people who have taken a look at it and said, I think there may be something to this. I think that, you know, we need to take a look at it and seriously investigate it because, you know, there may be something to this. So let me ask you now, what do you think? Is it possible that inside this planet is a large open space, very large, in which there are perhaps civilizations still living? Is it possible that our notion of this planet and our understanding of its makeup is wrong? Now, you have to understand that when scientists say, well, they'll start talking and they'll say, well, you know, the Earth is constructed this way. First, you've got the crust, and then you get down under the crust, and you've got this, and you've got that, and you finally get down to this molten iron core that's spinning down in the center. How do they know? How do they know? As far as I know, no one has yet drilled to the center of the Earth. As far as I know, no one has yet made it all the way through the crust. The crust, in some places, is very thin, maybe 20 miles. In some places, 900 miles. we've not yet drilled 20 miles into this earth. We've never gotten below the crust. So how do they know for sure what the composition of this planet is all the way to its core? What they're discovering as they look out across space and they look at all these stars and galaxies, they're discovering that what they had imagined to be the ways in which planets are formed are not right very often. They're discovering that planets are formed in some very unusual ways out of some very unusual materials with very unusual forces acting upon them that don't fit the models, don't fit the textbooks. That means that when they tell us the composition of that planet that they couldn't even imagine could be formed, it cannot be more accurate than their theory about how the planet could be formed. And if that was inaccurate, what does that say for what they tell us about the composition of the planet? And when you reduce that back down to Earth, what does that say about how accurate are they about the composition of this planet? Now, they may be exactly right. They may be 100% correct. But they don't know that they are. They will assert that they are, but they don't know that they are, and you don't either. What we actually know is microscopic in comparison to what there is to know. So what I wonder about things when I hear stories like this about the inner Earth, and I hear serious people talk about it being possible. And then I think about all the pictures that I've seen of the globe. There are no clear shots of the North Pole. There are no clear shots of the South Pole. I've never yet seen a satellite photograph of the North Pole or the South Pole. Although back in I think it was 1970. I'll have to look that up, but I think it was 1970. There was a satellite photograph taken of the North Pole, and it showed a very regular shaped dark spot where the North Pole should be, and where there should either be ocean or ice. There was a very regular shaped dark spot. In the 1980s, I believe, they got one of the South Pole, and it showed the same thing. But I've never seen those. I've just read about them. And it showed the same thing, a very regular-shaped dark spot, a black spot, where there should be either ocean or ice. The inner Earth theory says that that those are the entrances, major entrances, to the inner Earth. Now, there are supposed to be some other entrances into the inner Earth. Some of the entrances are caverns. One of them is supposed to be in the Gobi Desert. But the legends say that particular entrance is kept invisible by the guardians of the inner earth, the people who live in the inner earth. And so, you know, that's, we don't get to see it. But we get to think about it, and that's what we're going to do together when we come back right after this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to open the phone lines here in just a moment. Let me remind you first that those of you who join our members area and sign up for a quarterly membership, We're going to send you Ed Grimsley's Our Star Wars Reel. This is his interview with Joanne Richards, in which she talks about her husband's involvement in a secret space program. Watch this. Decide for yourself, but watch this and pay attention. We'll send that to you free of charge as a bonus if you sign up for a quarterly membership. Now, if you sign up for annual membership, we're going to send you Ed Grimsley's Our Star Wars Reel, okay? But in addition, we're going to send you his other DVD called UFO Wars, where you can watch UFOs flying way up in space through his night vision equipment. Okay, there it is. You get both of those if you sign up for an annual membership. So don't procrastinate. I only have a few of each of those, and when they're gone, they're gone. Get yours while they last. All right, I'd like to know what you think about this inner Earth thing. Maybe you think it's real. Maybe you think it's nonsense. But I hope I've given you some things to consider. Yeah, here's the information about the satellite before I start answering the telephone. An American satellite took very interesting photographs at the end of the 1970s. The photographs were published in many Western scientific magazines. The pictures depicted a dark, regularly shaped spot on the North Pole. The photographs were not defective, and similar pictures depicting the same dark spot at the on the pole were taken several years later. Okay, I got it wrong. I said that it was on the South Pole. I misunderstood. That's two sets of satellite photographs of the North Pole. All right, let's open up the telephone line. The inner Earth, is it real? Is it all fiction? Are the people who say it exists all wet? Or is it a reality? And why do you think so? The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Or you can give me a call toll-free at 888-223-4599. All right, let's go to our telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
This is such an interesting theory, but I got to ask if we have any kind of science to like even prove like what they're telling us is correct about the composition of the crust and everything. I mean, I know we have like ground penetrating radar satellites and stuff that even other countries are going to use for the moon, mapping that. I mean, it would seem like we've already done the Earth, or we would have conducted some kind of study just to.
We don't have anything that can penetrate the crust.
Telling everybody else.
We have absolutely no technology that can take pictures of what's under the crust.
Huh.
The crust is too thick. So it's true we have ground-penetrating radar, but it only is effective for so many feet down. And the crust is too thick. It cannot penetrate the crust.
Yeah, well, see, I thought there was a country that was sending some type of ground-penetrating radar satellite to do the moon.
Well, that's true. You can do it, but it still has its limitations. It's not going to be able to see what's down. I think it's about a mile and a half down is all that it can see under the surface of the moon.
I'm just wondering if maybe we already know the answer and we're just not being informed of it. You know, it just seems odd that we're putting technology out into space to test things, but yet we don't really know what our own planet consists of. That just seems like a pretty risky chunk of money there to throw out.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we know more about Mars than we know about Earth.
That's true.
Just last week, they released the information that they had discovered here on Earth a colony of microbes that lives where there's no oxygen and no light, and yet they live. And that's here on Earth. And we just now got around to discovering that. Every year there are, you know, 100, 200 species of animals that are discovered that we didn't know existed. So, you know, that's why I say that what we actually know as compared to what there is to know is microscopic. What we actually, you put everything we know in one big pile and it's a microscopic dot.
Yeah, it's just so odd. I mean, even as a kid, I remember seeing the classic cross-section of the Earth and seeing the different layers of the mantle and then the core and the molten part, you know, and it just, it never really dawned on me, I guess, that as far as solid evidentiary proof, there was none.
Yeah, there really is none. I think the deepest hole that has been drilled is something like, I could be wrong about this, but I think it's about 9 miles deep. Well, you know, the crust is several hundred miles deep in some places, and, you know, it's like in the thin spots, 20 miles thick. So, you know, we don't know. I mean, it's a big guess as to what's inside this planet.
Well, hey, I'll let you go, sir, to carry on. I just had to throw my question out there. I was just curious about that, and I love it when we kind of do different topics like this. It's very interesting. I appreciate it.
You bet you. Thanks for the call. All right, the telephone number is 602-539-9580, and the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is one of the Kevins. I'm calling from Northern Alberta. How are you tonight?
Outstanding. Good to hear from you.
Good, man. Okay. I'm not sure about the Antarctic opening into the Hollow Earth, but we know that there is subterranean tunnels in South America, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also in India, and also in Turkey, and also all up under the Gobi Desert. Probably everywhere.
Right, I wonder how many of these are yet unexplored.
I would imagine most are unexplored.
Well, there you go. That's what we need to do, get somebody down in there that can find these cities of gold and so on.
Do you know that one of the specifications for the building of HAARP was that it had to be able to image what is beneath the earth?
Really? I didn't know that.
That's one of its jobs. Kind of interesting in light of what we're talking about.
It is. So they would know a lot more than the normal man would then.
You would think, yeah.
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 Oh, well, that's pretty cool. Thanks, Kev.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, let's go to this other line, if I can get the phone system to switch. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Yeah, Don.
How are you doing tonight?
Outstanding, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if you recall or not the Phil Snyder story. He alleged that he was an engineer working for the government, and he was drilling some of these underground bases, that alleged underground bases in Dulce, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And they broke through unknowingly to alien gray base.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they were bases, but how do we know that they were actually bases? How do we know these aliens are not actually from our inner Earth, you know?
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't think we do know. I think, you know, there's a whole lot of speculation about where they're from, and a lot of people are saying they know where they're from, but I haven't seen any definitive evidence yet.
No, and everything we've heard about the Greys is we've heard nothing that they're liars anyways. Anything they say, they've always lied about.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe they are from the inner earth. You know, one of the things, that Richard Shaver story, Richard Shaver went to his grave saying that he was telling the truth. And he never, ever gave it up. He said it was true. And that he had lived for a period of time in one of those underground cities with these beings that had their features look like demons. Well, that kind of sounds like Graves, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does, because they sure seem a little demon-looking, or the reptilians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you, with your story, you get the guest you had on there at the time, the guy was supposedly in New Orleans, or he had a couple of National Guards report to him. That,
yeah, Joe Montaldo.
Katrina flooding, there was a couple of reptilians mm-hmm. that surfaced. And who knows? Maybe they were flooded out where they were.
Maybe. Or maybe they just decided, let's go up and take a look. There's something going on up there.
Yeah, a lot of water is seeping in our living room.
Yeah, the roof's leaking. Don, thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin, take care.
You bet. All right, the telephone line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. So let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. It's interesting that you would mention Richard Shaver. I actually read his stories last summer.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Fascinating. There's a possibility they could be true, but it reads like a really good hardcore old-time sci-fi. But there's also a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't discount that what he wrote might not be true, but at the same time, knowing what I know about the legends and myths of the Earth and stuff, it could be possible. Actually, Edgar Rice Burroughs' series on the inner earth was called Pellucidar.
Mm-hmm.
And I read those many years ago, too. I was very much into the inner earth belief, even back in my teens. I don't see why there can't be something like that. There's just a lot of things that we're not aware of. We're just starting to scratch the surface of, you know, within our own minds. And we're only using, like, not even a third of our own brain power, our own mind power. What's not to say that there can't be a civilization or civilizations within the Earth? I don't think that that's impossible. It's just like saying we're the only intelligent life forms in the universe.
And you know, but see, we're Homo terracentric in the way that we think. How many times have you heard people say things like, "Well, you know, it's just a dog is a dumb animal. You know, they can't speak. They can't speak our language." Well, there's a flip side to that. You can't speak theirs either.
True.
And they do communicate.
Well, they do. They do. They have their own method of communication, you know, just like any other animal does. If we're intelligent enough, we just have to really stop and watch their body language. You know, dogs have ways of communicating we just have to tie into.
Yeah, and it's pretty intricate communication as well. We don't speak their language, but we never say that. We don't say, "I'm sorry, I can't speak my dog's language." We say, "That dog is a dumb dog. He can't speak our language."
Well,
but we do that with the whole universe.
The dummy themselves.
Yeah, we do that with the whole universe. And,
that's,
you know,
true.
Because we're Homo terracentric in the way we think. Debbie, thanks for the call.
Uh-huh. Have a good one, Captain.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks, 602-539-9580 is the telephone number, or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, Kevin. This whole inner or slash hollow earth theory. It's been something I've never really looked into. I've heard Brooks Agnew. I've heard Brooks Agnew talking about it a few times on the Kevin Smith Show and with George Norrie. But I've never really paid much attention. I've been doing some research while the show's been going on, so I've been getting myself a little bit, I guess, acquainted with it. And this is one of those things where, you know, there's no such thing as believe it's either it exists or it doesn't. And right now, I'm pretty much unknown on it right now. I've got a lot of research to do. But according to the research I'm doing, I'm on crystallinks.com right now. And they're talking about, they've got a list of 13 purported entrances into this hollow earth.
Yeah, and it, you know, it may all be, it may be true. This, I have not seen a lot of evidence on. I've seen a little bit. We've talked about a little bit of it here. I've heard a little bit of evidence in terms of scientists talking. But I'm not in any way ready to, you know, take the leap and say it's all bunk or to say I think it's true. What I do think is that there are some very compelling issues and questions that really ought to be examined.
Absolutely. And, well, judging from this list that I got here, the entrances to Agartha, we have Cueva de los Tayos, Cave of the Oil Birds in Ecuador. There's one in Mongolia, like you mentioned, the Gobi Desert. Apparently the pyramids of Giza are an entrance to these places. There's one in Iguazu Falls, Argentina and Brazil. Mammoth Caves in Kentucky. There's also an entrance to California at the Agarthian Mount Shasta. It's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a few other places, a couple in India, Brazil, Italy. Well, it's a interesting to look into. Hey, you're not that far from California. I'm sure maybe someday you may be able to find the time to go check that out.
I'm worlds away from California.
Well, if anybody's near Mount Shasta, maybe they could go take a look at that, because there's apparently in our Argathian city, somewhere inside of Mount Shasta. And you know what this reminds me of about these other entrances? It reminds me of the Lord of the Rings, when they're trying to get to the other side of the mountains. Instead of going through the Gap of Rohan, they end up going through the mines of Moria and having to go through miles underneath the earth to get there.
Yeah.
This reminds me of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I appreciate the call.
All right, have a good night, man.
All right. So right, so true. We don't have enough evidence, really, to say one way or the other at this point, but I think I do think some of you have researched this more than I have. You probably have a great deal more information about it than I have, and you could enlighten us some by sharing some of that information with us so that we have more to consider. Let me tell you our telephone number again. The telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580, and we would very much love to hear from you. All right, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mark from Ohio.
Okay,
sir.
Tonight? I'm doing well, and you?
Very good. Have you ever heard of a contactee named Sheldon Neidel?
Yes.
Ah, well, he has a DVD called Inner Earth, Your Future Home. And I thought you might want to check that out.
Inner Earth, Your Future Home. And what does he say about it?
Well, according to Sheldon, once we become fully awakened human beings, we will move to the inner Earth to join a much more advanced race of galactic humans who are currently living within giant crystal cities in the inner Earth. And he goes on in this DVD to describe in detail what the inner Earth looks like and what it's like, and it's pretty fascinating.
How does he say that he knows about this?
Well, he is a contactee of a group of ETs, allegedly from the Sirian star system. And this group of ETs has open contact with the group from the inner Earth, and Sheldon, allegedly anyway, has actually been to the inner Earth and actually has been in the crystal cities down there.
All right, you've read the book, right?
Well, I've watched the DVD. Yeah, it's fascinating.
What is your opinion?
Well, I'd like to see some photographs. I'd always like to see a little proof, you know.
But why do you suspect there are not any photographs?
Well, that's a good question. Either he's very, very creative and he's made this all up, or there are maybe some set of rules that this group doesn't allow photographs. You know, I'm speculating here.
Well, let me say something about that. The idea that these groups, so we hear this all the time, that the extraterrestrials or the inner terrestrials or whoever we're talking about would not allow us to take photographs. And then people say, oh, yeah, right, okay. Well, let me tell you, you take your camera and go to the airport or train station in almost any country and just start filming and see if they let you get out of there with that videotape.
I never thought of that. That's a good point.
Listen, I was arrested twice in Yugoslavia, and I was arrested once in Bulgaria. And all three arrests were illegal arrests. But there was a fourth one in that's three arrests. There was a fourth one in Yugoslavia where I was just shooting some video of a train coming into the station. And the only thing that saved me from getting arrested at that point is I had my police ID with me.
Wow.
And they were hooking me up. They were getting ready to take me to the jail. I had to erase the videotape while they stood there and watched.
That's pretty wild, Kevin. Do you think that you'd be interested in getting Sheldon on the show? Or?
Sure.
Yeah, that would be a great one for you to check out sometime.
Yeah.
You could probably find his information somewhere on the Internet, I imagine.
Yeah, I'll make a note here, and we'll check into that.
He also has a DVD that describes Syrian motherships, and he's allegedly been on those as well.
Well, we'll see if we can get Sheldon on the show, and we'll hear from him what he's got to say about all that.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, that's an absolute fact. You know, I hear people sort of poo-poo the idea that the aliens wouldn't let me take pictures or the people from the inner Earth wouldn't let me take pictures. Hey, right here on the surface of this planet, there are places where you can't take pictures, and if you do, you'll be arrested. I know. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about the inner earth this evening. Must have somebody upset because they keep hitting the video feed. But the audio feed is continuing uninterrupted, and that's good. That means that all of those many, many, many people around the world in 95 countries are getting the audio feed, and all of our affiliate radio stations are getting it. That's a good thing. All right, we're going to open the phone line again. This whole thing about the inner earth is it's weird stuff. It really is, and it's many of you have researched it. You've read about it. You've got DVDs on it. You've watched documentaries on it, and you form some opinion. Well, I'd like to know what you think and why. Add to the body of knowledge that I have, please. The telephone number is 602-539-9580 or toll free at 1-888-223-4599. And as always, if you live outside of the USA, you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and I'll read it on the air, and we'll talk about it. We have a flash message here from Nigel in the United Kingdom, and it says, well, I've witnessed anti-gravity through poltergeist activity. I've never seen a UFO and wondered if they were vehicles or entities because there are many reports of them crashing. Are these man-made like the Nazi Bell? Someone once said there could be as many as 11 different dimensions here on Earth and that could exist in the same space. I think you're right, Nigel, and I think the point that Nigel is making is that there are just a lot of mysteries around us. And with all these mysteries around us that we know exist around us, this is just another one. This inner Earth thing is just another mystery that we can sort of, you know, put in the folder and say, well, that's one we don't know about yet. But, you know, there is a story about a couple of miners, coal miners, and this happened in 1963. David Fellin and Henry Throne found, their coal miners, American coal miners, found a large door in a tunnel, and behind that door they discovered a marble stairway. In England, miners can hear the sounds of mechanical devices under the ground as they dig a tunnel. An English miner said that they had also found a stairway to an underground well. The sound of machines became more distinct, and the workers fled in fear. And when they returned to the tunnel, there were no stairs and no entrance to the well. Mysterious, very mysterious. We have heard many stories across the years by people who say they have encountered civilizations or people of the inner earth. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, this inner earth always has fascinated me. But to go, you know, like everything we do, it seems like we always try and put the cart before the horse. If we're putting ships, you know, together that could take a lot of pressure to go to the bottom of the ocean, I'm sure that with our space, space station being up there and the shuttle going around the Earth all these times, if there's something at the North-South Pole, I'm sure we're quite aware of it by now, and I'm sure whether we know it or not, there's probably been a black ops operation to find out what's going on. Especially if they're protective of their area with our domes or dooms or whatever they call them, the underground bases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, domes.
I'm sure that, you know, they've been keeping an eye on us, what we're doing.
Well, listen, our deep underground military bases are not very deep.
You know, they're like UFOs. I think they're keeping it hidden.
Our deep underground military bases, Terry. Terry, take a breath. Our deep underground military bases are not very deep. Okay? They may seem deep to us.
Get to the middle of the earth, yeah.
Yeah, they're not very deep, like a couple of miles.
Or two from, if there was somebody down there.
Yeah, well, let's say we drill one. This is hypothetical. Let's say we drill one 5 miles deep. Man, that would be deep to us. That doesn't even get you through the crust.
Yeah.
That's not even a scratch on the surface. So, you know, I'm not real sure that whatever we're doing, even with deep underground bases, I'm not sure at all that if there was a civilization living in inner Earth, that they would be very concerned about that.
Yeah, it's possible. It's just a thought, you know.
But I do agree with what you said, that if there is something to this, it's likely that our military does know, and there may have been some black ops operations in to go exploring into the inner earth. That's a possibility. But look, HAARP is the most powerful ground-penetrating radar, and it's not really radar, but the most ground, the most powerful ground-penetrating technology that's ever been invented. And part of, if you read, you go back and read the specifications for when they were first going to build it, it had to be able to image under the earth so that they could look for underground caverns, cavities, and bunkers.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard a scientist talk about it, where they he used, I don't know, 3 to 5 megahertz or whatever, compared to the million that we're using on HAARP.
Mm-hmm.
And they got, you know, they got the information back with just that 3 to 4 megahertz. And you know, he's saying that we're using a million, you know, and we're playing with fire by doing that, you know, as far as, you know, maybe causing an earthquake or something like that.
Well, maybe. The defense secretary under Bill Clinton was Cohen. And Cohen said that there were people who were fighting against us. He didn't use those terms, but enemies of the United States, who had the ability to unleash violent storms and earthquakes and hurricanes by means of electromagnetic technology. Now, he made that, that was a public statement that he made.
Yeah, well, it was clear back, wasn't it, in the 70s when they supposedly had that United Nations thing where we supposedly, it obviously was possible because they decided that that was supposed to be a weapon that was not supposed to be used against different countries.
Well, that was the neutron bomb. The neutron
weather warfare they had.
Well, there may have been that too. The one I'm familiar with is the neutron bomb, and the neutron bomb was outlawed. It doesn't explode conventionally. There's no explosive damage from a neutron bomb, so it doesn't destroy buildings, but it kills people.
Yeah.
And that was outlawed.
I got one more thing. Did you hear that? They call it. Supposedly, sounds from hell, where up in Siberia, the Russians dug a big hole for whatever, and that somebody recorded these screams and howls. I just wonder if you heard that and what you think about that.
I heard that the night that Art Bell played it on his show a long time ago, and it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, kind of scary.
Yeah, a little bit. Hey, thanks for the call.
Oh, that's my 23 cents worth for tonight, I think.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. All righty. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. Or 1-888-223-4599. Inner Earth. Now, you know, I've asked on this show, if you had the opportunity to go to the moon, would you do it? And a lot of people have said, yes, they would. I've asked if you had the opportunity to go to Mars, would you do it? And a lot of people have said, yes, they would. All right, now, if you had the opportunity to go to inner Earth and meet with a civilization there, would you do it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes. My name is James from New York.
Hi, James.
Hi, yes. If you go back in history, a lot of Native American tribes talk about battles that they used to have with civilizations that come from the inner earth.
You are right. You are right.
And there's a gentleman by the name of Credo Mutwa. He's an African shaman. He also talks about a race of reptilian beings called the Nagas that came from underground in Africa and took over and started ruling things for a while.
You know, the Nagas are also mentioned in several of the various Asian cultures. And that's pretty interesting. James, are you a first-time caller?
No, actually, I called last night.
Oh, you did? Okay.
The guy that lives about 20 minutes from Pine Bush.
Oh, okay. I remember the call. I sure do. So was last night your first time to call us?
No, I called like a few months ago, one time before.
Okay. Well, yours is not a voice that I recognized, so you need to call us more often.
Yeah, I try. I try to get my brother to call in, but he's a big scaredy cat. He doesn't want his voice heard on the radio.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
No problem. Have a good night.
All right. Yeah, the Nagas. I didn't mention them, but the Nagas are certainly one of the names that are given for, you know, who's living on the inside of the earth. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name? From where are you calling?
I'm Leah from Tennessee.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right.
Good.
I just wanted to, everything you've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I found a really good site a while back that has a really good listing of everything you've talked about.
Mm-hmm. What's it called? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. What's the name of the site?
HollowOrbs.com.
HollowOrbs.com. Okay. That's That'll be a good place for folks to go.
Excellent compilation of all of it.
Okay, holloworbs.com. Okay, outstanding. What do you think? Do you think this Hollow Earth thing is for real?
Well, confirms it more than not. And the more I learn, the more I find out things are possible.
Okay. If you had a chance to go and visit a civilization that's living on the inside of this planet, would you do it?
In a heartbeat.
You would. You're not scared, huh? Not scared at all.
Not as much as I am the people here.
Thank you for the call. All right, folks, we have this break coming up, and we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about this inner earth thing. The telephone number, we'll take one or two more calls. The telephone number is 602-539-9580 or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you had the chance to go into an expedition into the inner earth, you had a chance to go, would you go? If you had the chance, would you go to the inner earth and visit and meet the people there, if it actually existed? 602-539-9580 or 888-223-4599. And our telephone system showed someone calling in, and then it disappeared. So I don't know if you hung up or if our system hung up on you, but you've got time, so give us a call, okay? 602-539-9580. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Paul from New York City. How are you?
Outstanding, Paul. How are you?
Okay, I haven't heard anybody mention, and I don't know if anybody's aware of it or if you're aware of it, Mel's Hole in Ellensburg, Washington.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Mel's Hole. His name is Mel Waters, and he had a hole and on his property in Washington. that supposedly had paranormal effects that could revive dead dogs, and it was kind of his property was taken over by the government. And if you look at that, his part where he lives, the land that he owned, it's blocked off on Google Earth.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you do a Google Earth?
George Norrie a couple of times.
All right, do a Google Earth. Pull it up on Google Earth and send me a screenshot of that, if you would.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, Paul, thanks for the call, man.
No problem.
All right. Yeah, very, very strange when they block something off where you can't see it. That means you need to look. Something is up when that happens. It's just like when they cut you off, when they knock off the video stream, or they knock off the audio stream. That, whatever we were saying, you need to pay attention to. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Greg from Utah.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, it's nice hearing you tonight, Kevin.
Good.
What I wanted to talk about was, I have a couple of things, is that we had some property we went out to in the book list, and we had these energy-saving lights with us, the ones that are twirly, and they lit up right on its own as soon as we were into certain areas. So it's either a ley line or else some microwave energy being released from the earth.
Well, it could be that. It could be there may be some underground electrical cables that also could do that. Or there may be a radio transmitter tower nearby somewhere. Because if you get close to a radio transmitter, they will light up. If you take, I don't know about other radios, but if you take a police radio, the kind that they carry on their belt, lay the antenna on one of those lights and then just key the radio, it will light it up.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that before too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the second thing I wanted to bring up is that there's this thing called, on YouTube, Underwater Anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, on Google Earth, you're looking down into the lakes up in the Andean Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And you look down into them through Google Earth, and you could see all sorts of formations and like...
Yeah, it looks like a city under there.
Yeah, it looks like a city.
Yeah, and particularly these are lakes in the Andes Mountains. High in the Andes Mountains. There are probably other lakes like that, but the ones in the Andes Mountains, definitely, there are some of these structures that you're talking about. There sure are.
Yeah,
I looked at those the other day. Greg, are you a first-time caller?
No, actually, I called a few years back when the cowbell was going.
Oh, yeah?
I think maybe you talked about being in the Philippines, but anyway, I was looking down into the crater lake through Google Earth,
uh-huh.
And I see a lot of formations over in a lot of different areas, and it's pretty amazing. I really think that everyone should look into that.
Yeah. Where is Crater Lake at? It's in... oh, geez, I can't remember.
The Philippines?
In the Philippines? Okay. Well, there is a Crater Lake also, I believe, in North America as well. But the one in the Philippines, yeah, and look, not too far off the coast of the Philippines, there are some pyramids on the ocean floor. And those have been seen with Google Earth as well. Greg, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for everything you're doing, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Well, folks, the inner earth, I don't know. There seem to be some serious people who seriously think that it is the correct theory. And there seems to be some evidence that supports the theory. you have the only thing you can say about those that detract from the theory and that don't believe the theory is that that's the majority. There's not enough evidence on either side at this point. We just don't. Nobody has drilled through the crust of the earth. And even if you do, you're only just beginning. And, I mean, there's a whole bunch more that you've got to go to get down to the core. So nobody has been able to verify for sure what this planet is made of and how it's created. Nobody really knows. There are lots of theories. There are theories about the construction of this planet that the majority of the scientists subscribe to. But that's all you can say, is it's a theory that the majority have subscribed to. But remember, the majority subscribe to the flat Earth, and the majority subscribe to all the planets and stars were revolving around the Earth. So the majority is not really a reason to throw your hat in and say, that's what I buy, just because it's a majority. We really don't have a lot of evidence yet. I think that that kind of research would be very, very important. I think that would be just as important as research in space. Well, it's been interesting talking about this and discussing it with you this evening. Let me remind you that we have something special happening, and that is if you join our members area, we're going to send you, if you join on a quarterly basis, we're going to send you this as a bonus, and it is Ed Grimsley's Our Star Wars Reel. It's his interview with Joanne Richards, and they talk about a secret space program she says her husband was involved with. If you join on an annual basis, we're going to send you that, plus we're going to send you Ed Grimsley's UFO Wars. And this DVD right here, this DVD sells for $24.95. We're going to send that to you as a free bonus. So join up. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.